Camp Choice staff are assembling here in the front. Surprise, Helen, surprise. And they are going to do a little exercise that we sometimes do. We mentioned how we have a particular type of culture. A lot of it is based upon missionary church planting. If you have our staff book, this explains how to give 2 months to God in service. And if you look in the back of it, it will have what are called some cultural sayings. This is really just philosophy of ministry. And we're going to go ahead and let the staff who needs to know this better than anybody else, I'm going to give them the opportunity to finish each of the sayings by memory and then tell us what they mean. So Benjamin, we... All right, so we're not focused on ourselves. We are a one-talent ministry that is designed to be a good ally to you. Helen, elite. For extra credit points, is there any scripture that comes to your mind? Oh, that was read today. Is there one in John chapter 4, verse 4? Yes. Jesus must needs go through Samaria. The disciples were like, what? We go around this place. He gets to the woman at the well. She says, Jews don't even talk to us. See, Jesus doesn't change who he is, but through elite love, he goes to meet people and work. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Nathan, work!
Work for the finger of God.
So, when Jesus meets the woman at the well, he deals with her terrible dress standard.
No, he does not.
What does he work on?
He works for salvation.
Okay. The finger of God always works salvation first, milk before meat. Sometimes we're in a bit of a hurry because we want to see some people be a little, let me say, easier to minister to. You need to work where God is working. Elite love, work where the finger of God is working, works together. And that is something we teach our young people. And it is very critical, especially when you're working with inner city kids. Benjamin, servant. All right, all three together in stereo, if you're really good. And Nathan, you can explain it.
By me, a clue means that we have an aggressive, teachable spirit. Boy, that was not the plan. Aggressive, teachable spirit means that we want to hear what everybody's ideas are. It means that the ideas often come from the campers themselves.
Now, is every idea a good idea?
No.
No, you have discovered that, haven't you? Yeah, not a good idea, but we listen. And there's a lot of good ones, and you just got to figure out which are the good ones and which are the bad ones. Excellence, Helen. Amen. Benjamin Crawl. That's a little shorter, yeah. Who's the person at Camp Joy who needs crawl before you walk, walk before you run the most? Actually, it's me. So you need to. No, that's fine. It's not an insult. It's reality. Some say, John, you are a visionary. Visionaries burn out. If they're not seeing things accomplished or turned, they burn out. Crawl before you walk, walk before you run it for me. I must say, here's these things I would love to do. No one has done these. These would be phenomenal. I must set these aside and focus on the first things, lest I get going too fast. And so right now we're actually working a lot on infrastructure. It's not nearly as fun. About a month ago we did all new water softeners. That's a $12,000 project. It's designed so that you don't notice that area. And it's not quite as fun as doing American Ninja Warrior course but one must crawl before one walks and walk before you run. And then Nathan, problems.
Problems are opportunities, which means that what many people would view as a problem presents itself, we actually look at it as an opportunity, not only for the individual to grow more spiritually, but even for us to grow spiritually.
All right, and then Helen, I want you to help the deacons of the church here and describe wall. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to describe it just a little further. There are two perspectives we generally have when we come across new ideas. Some people, it's almost like it's wired in them to say, we can't do this, we've never done this, it won't work. Those are all walls. Immediately, people come out with why you can't do this. Others will give you bridges for how you can accomplish this. Now, obviously, you have to look at what's going on. There are some things you should never do, and so those shouldn't even come up. But there are some creative things you can do, and some people are very good at how can we make this happen. Others are, oh, we could never do this. We actually have started making custom omelets, and there was a person or two at first who said, oh, no, this is a bad idea. We couldn't do this, you know. And I actually had to put myself in line and say, I will take the personal responsibility of this. If it's a failure, it'll be all my fault. And so I had to build the bridge. And now you get lines of 40 people. It's almost too successful. People like that personal attention. Thank you. You guys did perfect. And you may be seated. Mark chapter 6 is an interesting chapter. It's a discussion of the 12 disciples being able to be with Christ, and wouldn't it be phenomenal to get to learn directly from the Lord and not only hear the words, but see things in His actions that would teach you, transform your life. And so the day comes when it had to have been a challenge, much like for Emmy Cates, you know. She wasn't really confident. She was very nervous. Her mom had to really require her to go. I found out from this row here that some of your young people had Emmy Caves as a counselor, and they really enjoyed her, or at least they enjoyed seeing themselves in the picture with her, one of the two there. And one of the young people said, you know, I still have contact and can hear from Emmy. That is unusual, brother. You don't usually get that level of spiritual influence. And you have to be doing things a certain way if you're going to get that and have it be a very good thing. Well, here are the 12, and Christ is about to thrust them out into the work and apart from Him. That wouldn't have been nearly as exciting. Notice in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, He, Jesus, called unto Him the 12, began to send them forth two by two. That would not be so exciting to have been with Christ and all that was going on to see Christ actively ministered. Now it's your turn to be thrust out. Thankfully, at least we get to go two by two. There's at least somebody else with me, you know, to share the fearsome things that are happening here. And even more so when you hear the instructions that Christ has about how you're to go. Let me say, whatever you're looking at, it's not just what you do, it's how you do it. Amen? In Africa, boy, they had rock bands, they had laser light shows. You wouldn't believe all the stuff they would do in church. And I would help people. I would say to them, why do you do this? Oh, to bring in the young people, and then we give them the gospel, and they're saved. Oh, this is so terrific. And I would say, do you think drunk people should come to the Lord? And the answer is, yes, that'd be a great thing. And I'd say, great. You should start the Christian beer company. And then you could write the gospel on the back label. Won't they love your Bible tracts? They'd be like, that's probably not a good idea. Aha! It's not just what you do, it's how you do it. And then they'd ignore me, and like the scriptures were preached today, they'd go their own way. Like this guy, let's have rock band, you know. And that's typically what they do. But hey, at least I pointed out something they needed to consider. All right. Well, let's look at the how you do it here. He sends them out two by two. He gives them power over unclean spirits. Verse 8, commands them that they should take nothing for their journey, save or only a staff. No script, no bread, no money in your purse. This does not sound like good planning, does it? I think this is Christ's deliberate move to cause them to be in a position where it's only going to work if you depend completely on God. That's a lot of fun, isn't it? Now that's scary, you know, but it's a good position to be in. The Bible teaches us that we ought to pray in seven words, give us this day our daily bread. Did you notice two of the words are the same word? In a seven-word scripture quote, two of the words are the same. It's the idea of day. And I think God wants us to get up every day and reflect, God, if you're not in this, if you're not providing for me, not only in physical things, but in spiritual things, I'm done. It's not going to happen. And I think that that's why in such a short amount of scripture, you have a focus there where you have doubled the word just to get your attention. Well, he goes on to say, be shod with sandals, not put on two coats. And he gives them other instructions that we even looked at today. And whatsoever place you enter into the house, you can abide till you depart. And if they don't receive you nor hear you, when you depart, what are you supposed to do? Shake off the dust from under your feet for a testimony against them. This was not going to be an easy way to do it for sure. But you know, the great news is the disciples obeyed. They did not only what God wanted them to do, but they paid attention to how you do it, and they had tremendous success. Let's fast forward for the sake of time to verse 30. The day comes when the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and they told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Boy, I wish I could have been there for that. That had to have been phenomenal. And I would love to daydream about what some of those specific conversations are like, but I'm going to put that aside for today, and I'm going to get right to the point. If we were there, what would we imagine the next verse would say in our scriptures? And Christ said, let us go and do it again. There are so many other places that we could go to. Let's go out two by two and go to this region as well. That's what I think the next verse should say. Which is why I'm a little stunned when I notice in verse 31 what Christ really said. And he said unto them, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, no end to the demands of the ministry. And they had no leisure so much as to eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray today you would unlock this scripture for us, particularly as adults. We are inclined to, particularly if we're saved, want to do right and to be busied about what right is and perhaps to overlook not just what we think we should do, but how it is that we are to do it. Let us pay careful heed to the instructions of Christ as he teaches adults for the need for balance. And the specifics of how that balance is to be accomplished, that the ministry might be able to be carried out in excellent order. And I pray these things in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. I want you to notice here, Christ is talking to adults. In Mark 6:31, we believe this is where in the Bible you find Christian camp. We're not the church. This is the church age, not the camp age. We think we got one verse. This is us. We are a little one-talent entity, and we just want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, for our one talent of opportunity. But we think that, especially in our day and age, maybe even more so in our day and age, we're also in the day of Pharaoh and the tale of bricks. The work never seems to be ending. If you have a job, it's like the power is in the boss man's hand, and he's making you work 6 days a week. Listen, we had to change our men's retreat format. 20 years ago, the item that most kept a man from coming to a men's retreat was cost. It's no longer that. It's now time. Guys are so busy, they can't hardly take any time off whatsoever. And so we've had to change our men's retreat and gear it so that it's only 17 hours. You come Friday after work, you have your service first, and then the big man meal afterwards. We've even had to flip the schedule, because if we give you the big man meal first, you're done. That's the end of that day. So, little appetizer just to get you through, service first, big man meal later, and including the sleep time, it's 17 hours. Now, you also have to be very careful when you do that. It's very tempting, particularly if you're not a camp, to just pack it full of sessions, you know, session after session, 5-minute break, session, donuts, but more sessions, you know. You just pack the thing full. And then you get what I call jello brain. Maybe I'm not real spiritual. By the end of like the fourth and fifth session, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like white, you know. My brain's been, there's a little smoke coming out of here, you know. I'm thinking so much, all right? We attempt to make a balance in those 17 hours so that two things occur. You get spiritually challenged, but you get physically refreshed. This verse explains the how and the why of it. You should come out feeling like your battery is charged and you're ready to go where? Church the next day. And you're all fired up to serve the Lord, not wiped out because you just did all these things and it was great and all of that. Let's look at some of the details that describe some of the ways that we have come to this. Christ said, come ye apart. We believe that you need to come out of your normal and your routine. This is why for young people, you come to summer camp at Camp Joy, guess what? You don't bring your cell phone. Now, if you say, I'm not coming, then I'm going to tell you that cell phone is an idol to you. It's more important to you than it should be, all right? You can't leave it for 1 week. You know what you'll find out? A lot of young people find out, they come to camp, they leave their cell phone behind, and they're like, man, you can like live without cell phone and have a great time. Who would believe it? You know? But that's out of your normal and your routine for a lot of individuals. You need to come out into a place of creation. It's not just any place. Notice Christ didn't say, hey, let's come out and go to the inn. They were having like a special spa weekend or something. No! You say, did they have such a place? Where was there no room for Christ when he was born? In the inn. All right? And some of those inns were near the Dead Sea. You know, that had to have been spa origination. Right in there, you know, with the salt and all that other mud and all that other kind of good stuff. All right? We told the young folks, especially the girls, we were doing mud pit. And just think of this as free Swiss spa mud pit, you know. And you're getting this for free. This is incredible. All right? And so you need to come to the place of creation. Now, let me tell you a little bit about inner city kids. We bring in inner city kids in a very specific pattern and way, and a number of these kids have not been outside a 10 city block area in their life. They don't know what stars look like. Can you imagine? And because of our location, because by the way, they don't do car rides real well. By the fact that we're not up in the middle of the North Woods, I think everyone else has put their camps where the land is cheap, but it means it's not close. And it's not right there and available. And whoever 60 years ago put Camp Joy there, boy, did he know what he was talking about. Now, instead of empty spots all over the lake, are like Illinois millionaires. Sometimes they call us up. Yes, we're knocking down our McMansion. And would the camp like to come and get the gold-plated fixtures before we knock it down to build a bigger McMansion? You know, sure. We'll do that. Whoever put that there, wow. He made it available so you can come apart, not just anywhere, but in a place of creation. One Buy Me a Clue suggestion we got once was, you don't have any TVs in your room. You should put some in. Thanks a lot. Let me note that. Forget that. No, that's the purpose. That's the whole thing. Amen? This is adults. And it helps you to get balanced. Because otherwise you're just burning through life. Sure, you're providing. Sure, you're doing things you should do. But guess what? The quality of your ministry goes down. There were many coming and going. There was no shortage of what could be done. The key was, how are we going to do this? In South Africa, you feel like, because you're in like a New York City, you feel like you are a drop in the bucket. I told the people one day, I could clone myself and still not do everything that would be good that could be done. And so I have got to even say no to some good things at times. I shared with our people that God first called me to the ministry of marriage. And then later he called me to the ministry of having children. And only later did he call me to the ministry of being a church planner, missionary, pastor guy. And I didn't think God would be real thrilled if I wiped out a ministry 1 and 2 for the sake of really doing a good job in 3. That's how you do it. It's not just what you do, it's how you do it. And that was at the heart of Christ. And he wants us to be balanced, and he knows that we have needs too. Notice also that Christ talks about some other things like eating. That's physical refreshment. I think sometimes people are blowing through life so much and they're eating these Hot Pockets and Lucky Charms, you know, and they're burnt out just from nutritional deficiency. We use real Wisconsin butter, folks. Forget that margin, you know. We're going to use the good stuff, all right? And that's part of what ministers to you. We have a pastor and wives retreat that is free for pastors and wives. And we start with a professional chef who has won national competitions, and this is his donation. And he comes in and he makes this meal that's like, wow. And that's how we start in ministering to the pastors and wives who are working their tails off. Not with sessions, food, good food. And then, because we don't pack it full of sessions, we have these free time blocks, and we let them choose what to do. Here's how I know this is the way to go. One pastor says to another one day, and we overhear him, "Brother, I took a 2-hour nap today. I can't remember the last time I did that." And we're like, "Jing, jing." He's going to come back to the front lines and have a charged battery, and it's going to be worth whatever it takes to get him up there and do it, because it's not just what you do, it's how you do it. I want to point out one other word here, and we'll land the plane. Notice the Bible uses the word here, leisure. They had no leisure so much as to eat. Leisure is literally a word that means to spend time. It could be an expenditure on a number of things, but the idea here is the spending of time on something you don't normally do. It can very much be a spiritual thing. Let me tell you what the word is not. The word is not amusement. If we consider the word amusement and those who like English and everything like that, at the core, the word muse means to think. What happens when I put a little A in front of a word like amoral? It negates it, doesn't it? You realize when you go to Great America Amusement Park, where you're going, I'm going to the not think park today. And that's literally what we have filled our lives with. We have cell phones that bring us constant feeds of not thinking. And you know, that's man's solution to their problems. Let me not think about it. Let me tell you, I used to do this on soul winning in Wisconsin, and it gets you in a little bit of trouble, but you guys will like this here, all right? I would go and I'd say, what do these three persons have in common? The individual who gets drunk, the individual who smokes marijuana, and the really avid Packers fan. Now, Wisconsin, they look at you and look for stones to pick up, you know, to cast at you, and they're waiting for you to give the answer, all right? Here's what these three things have in common. The guy who's going and getting drunk has a crummy marriage. And on his way home from work, he didn't want to go home. And so he stops at the corner bar, of which there's a lot of them up there. And he just wants to forget about how terrible his marriage is. And so he amuses himself. Does this solve his problem? No. Generally, it makes it worse. He just spent all the money at the bar. And if he has too many and the police pull him sober and take him to jail, his problems are getting infinitely worse. Amen? Doesn't solve the problem. The guy who smokes marijuana, he has a boss who hates him. And it seems like this boss's goal in life is to crush him. And he comes to the weekend and he says, I hate my life. Let me mentally check out. I don't even want to think about this. I just want to amuse myself. And that's why he does what he does. And the very avid Packer fan up there, they consider it a religion. For those moments, they lock in. And like, they use terms like we, you know, but like you own the team or something, you know. And they lock in. And woe be unto any child who crosses the visual path of amusement. But see, for a sports fan, you can feel like, I'm a good guy. I'm not down at the bar. I'm not smoking wacky weed, you know. I'm a good provider, and I'm just going to enjoy the game. You folks are insulated from that because the Bears stink, you know. You don't have to. So you guys are better off, you know. I grew up in northern Indiana, and at that time all we had was the Bears, and this is what I did in life. 85 was an awesome year. The other years were painful. And I soon realized, what am I spending my life on? In eternity, we're not going to care one iota. And I'm pouring my water down a hole and not doing the things that I could be doing that are worthwhile. With my own kids, including this one here, who's my oldest, I would get with them and I would play games when they're young and they don't know how to lie and they just tell you the truth, whether it hurts your feelings or not. And I would play a game and I'd say, who loves you? And that boy would say, Mom. I say, who else loves you? Grandma. Who else loves you? The dog. How do you know Mom loves you? She reads to me every night. How do you know Grandma loves you? Oh, she's got those special cookies that she makes whenever I'm coming over. How do you know the dog loves you? Has sweet puppy kisses for me whenever I come home. Someone's not making the grade here. And I realize he doesn't know I'm providing and slaving away there at work and everything. His world is determined by how the time is being spent. This is not a good route. I don't want to go this route. Dear Lord, I want all bullseyes. What's it going to take? And the Lord started showing me your amusements are costing you. You need leisure. You need to come apart, and it needs to be done in certain ways, and you need to have some spiritual challenge and such. But the world is offering you something else as a replacement. And it's costing you in ways you don't know. And that's when I stopped being a sports fan. My life actually got better. And now I have the blessing of being able to have my adult children who not only are willing to like be maybe near me or something, but like work for me. I know adult children who are trying to get as far away from their parents as they can. Let me say, he can allow me to have influence in his life, which is sure nice. But now it's his choice. It's not only train up a child in the way you should go, won't depart from it, it's also a matter of my son, give me my heart, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe all my ways. But that's the way of a disciple. And that's putting yourself up there for some difficult conversations and answers. It's not just what you do, it's how you do it. And as we study the scriptures, we find ourselves at Camp Joy in one Bible verse. And so these are the things that we focus on and we attempt to do by the grace of God, so that you can have a place, a spiritual mountaintop, as it were, where you can fulfill these things. And not only the kids, but the adults as well. May I tell you adults that during teen weeks, we have adult brochures out, and it is not uncommon for teen girls to pick up couples retreat brochures and say, my parents need this. And they're always right. Oh, you can come here and look great, and you can pull the wool over the pastor and his wife's eyes. You cannot pull the wool over the eyes of one who's right there in your midst. You are tempting them to reject all the things of God as well, by the way. If there's one thing that young people are very sensitive about, it's hypocrisy. And it drives them away from the things of God. And let me tell you, if that occurs in your household, you will be the one to regret it someday. I have adults that come to me and they're filled with those kinds of regrets. Why is it that we see this ministry of God? It's for individuals who come to us and say, I'm on my third marriage. This weekend, I learned how I destroyed my first two marriages. Now, by the way, I really would like you to come like before you wipe out any of the marriages. That'd really be best. But I'd rather have you when you're on your third, and let's figure this out so you don't run through it. It's for the teen boy who stood up this past summer and said, I've been looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. Here's the decision I made. Here's my little pile of stones or physical example of my decision that I'm taking home with me. We call them decision sticks. And I'm going to set this next to my computer. And he's giving testimony of this in his own church. And several adult men are convicted about the decision they haven't made yet. It's about the young lady this weekend who said of the lemonade retreat that dealt a lot with what do you do when life gives you lemons. She wrote a note and left it in her room for housekeeping. This is just what I needed. It's the husband who at the end of the Marriage on Target retreat said in public testimony, when I heard of the exercise you were going to want us to do, I said to myself, we're not really doing this, are we? We had one combined session, two split workshops, and two exercises. In our circles, we don't do exercises, brother. That just seems a little too outside the box. He thought, are we really doing picnic in our room? Do I really have to do what you're asking us to do? By the way, I knew the women would love it and the men would have a hard time. So he wasn't surprising me. And then he said to his wife, when it was just the two of them, are we really going to do this? And then he said, as we were reading our letters to each other, we both had tears. And we used the entire time allotted to this exercise. That's why we do these kinds of things. It's for the three teen girls from West Virginia who just signed up and registered for Teen 2 Camp right after morning service. That would be Megan, Madison, and Abigail. It's for the things that you need in your life, even if things are going well. Christ Jesus himself said to those who were being faithful, with those who were doing it right, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. There were many coming and going, there always will be. And they had no leisure so much as to even eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray today that you'd help us to pay attention not just to what we do, but even how we do it. No parent wants to come to the day when they find out they've lost their kids and, boy, they thought they did it right and they sure were sincere and zealous, but they're finding out at the nth hour they were sincerely wrong. Lord, even as a reward unto thy children who have put their faith and trust in you, oh, I pray you help us to realize that now the finger of God is in my life in another area. And it'll never depart from me. It begins at salvation and it works through basic and then more complex things. And we need to get to the complex lest we become our own worst enemies. Lord, I pray that we would put priorities onto the things that are priorities onto you that we would be careful with the things of this world who desire to have our hearts, who desire to give us solutions which don't solve anything and they actually make the problems worse. May we not only be known as individuals who do right, but may this church be marked as individuals who do things the right way. And I pray these things in the name of Christ Jesus. And may I say, we are thankful unto you that we get an opportunity to do our one talent assistance unto those who will do so. Amen and amen.